You will hear part of a lecture about native citrus plants in Australia, known as lemon myrtle. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Pause the audio for 1 minute. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we're going to explore a few remarkable native citrus species found in Australia, which are not only important ecologically, but also increasingly popular in culinary and commercial industries. Let's begin with one of the most well-known examples, lemon myrtle. This evergreen tree, native to the subtropical rainforests of Queensland, is widely appreciated for its strong lemon aroma. People often use lemon myrtle in cooking, but one of its more traditional applications is steeping the leaves to create herbal tea. Aside from its pleasant flavour, it's also believed to have antimicrobial properties, which makes it popular in natural remedies. Now, lemon myrtle isn't the only citrus-like tree found in Australia. Although desert lemon trees resemble other native citrus types, they won't develop properly unless there is consistent and sufficient rain available. This need for regular water supply makes them more challenging to grow in areas prone to long dry spells, despite their name suggesting otherwise. Another fascinating species is the finger lime, sometimes referred to as citrus caviar due to its tiny bead-like juice vesicles. These are often used in gourmet dishes. However, finger lime trees, known for their culinary appeal, often struggle in wet climates where fungal and bacterial diseases tend to spread quickly. This sensitivity has made commercial cultivation a bit risky, especially in regions with poor drainage or unpredictable weather. When it comes to cultivation practices, timing is everything. Farmers usually begin planting during the spring months, as unexpected frost later in the year can severely damage young trees. This seasonal strategy helps to maximize growth while avoiding environmental stresses that could affect survival rates. Speaking of safety, it's also important to mention that not every part of these trees is edible. While generally safe, certain areas of the plant, especially the leaves, can be considered slightly toxic when eaten in significant amounts. For this reason, growers and chefs alike must take precautions when handling or preparing these native ingredients. As for processing, there's more than one way to use the harvest. In some recipes, the dried form, commonly referred to as a powder, is preferred over using the fully ripened fruit. This allows the flavour to be preserved and used in spice blends, marinades, or even herbal teas. From a geographical standpoint, distribution of these plants varies depending on species. These plants are naturally found in extremely dry ecosystems, with the desert landscape being one of their most common habitats. Their resilience to harsh conditions has made them well suited for outback environments, although they still need proper care. Even so, not all environments are equal. Ideal growth occurs in consistently hot and humid environments, particularly in tropical zones where temperatures remain stable throughout the year. This is why some commercial farms are now being established further north, where these conditions are more reliable year-round. Beyond function, some species are valued for aesthetics. Chefs often enhance the look of seafood dishes by adding colourful citrus zest, especially when presenting grilled fish to guests. This decorative touch adds both flavour and visual appeal, making native citrus a favourite in high-end cuisine. However, cultivation is not without its challenges. Pests pose a significant challenge to these trees, with certain species of insects like borers and mites causing serious leaf damage. Farmers often need to monitor their orchards closely and use eco-friendly pest control methods to maintain healthy crops. That brings us to the end of our overview. As you can see, Australia's native citrus species offer a mix of culinary richness, ecological uniqueness, and agricultural complexity.
That is the end of part 4.